Hi, everyone. This is Kate Snow, and I'm so excited to share a conversation I had with Zeynep Salbi, a humanitarian, author, and TV host. We met for Turkish coffee at Cafe Mogador in New York City. It's part of my series, The Drink with Kate Snow, where I speak with innovators, influencers, and industry leaders all about their success stories. You can find more of these conversations at nbcnews.com/thedrink.
I meditate a lot. That's sort of what keeps me stable.
Yeah. That and Turkish coffee.
And Turkish coffee after the meditation, never before, you know.
Zeynep Salbi, you are a human rights advocate, you are a commentator, you are a woman who interviews others. I mean, you're so many different things. You're from Iraq originally. How did you get from Iraq to the life you have here in America now?
My story started with my family knowing Saddam Hussein. My father was his personal pilot and the head of Iraqi aviation. And
that is sort of personal pilot.
Commercial pilot, yes.
You have a story about making coffee for Saddam Hussein.
Yes. So the relationship was not by choice. When he chooses a friendship, you have two choices, basically. To say no is to be killed. One day, the president shows up in front of our house. I make coffee for, I thought, not only the president, but for all of his entourage.
Right.
Anyway, I go, put the best tray, silver tray with, like, engravings in it and the best coffee cups, and I enter the room thinking that I'm serving coffee for someone I don't know, and he looked at me and he said, Zanuba, this must be Zanuba, which is my nickname, what my parents call me. And I was just like, the president knows who I am. Oh my God.
You end up in the United States, you end up coming to Chicago, right? Being sent out of Iraq to Chicago for an arranged marriage.
Yes.
That your family arranged for you.
Well, that my mother arranged for me, was not fun. The marriage ended up being a very abusive marriage. My family left to back to Iraq right after that, and it ended up being a very abusive marriage, and I left him 3 months later, I escaped.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what my mother did or why my mother did until 9 years later.
You didn't speak to your mom for a while.
Well, I couldn't speak to her because they were in Iraq and I was stuck in America and I couldn't go back to Iraq, you know, because there was embargoes and sanctions and borders and all of that. And I also at one point said, okay, I'm going to build my life in America. Like, that's my choice and I'm going to stay and make something out of it. And then 9 years later, I saw my mother. She came here and she was ill and she was dying and literally on her deathbed, you know, like 6 months before her death, I asked her, I was like, why did you do this? And that's when she told me that she was so scared. It's very emotional that Saddam would touch me as he had abused many women around him. And for her, it didn't matter how I got out. She just wanted me to get out.
You left your husband, you moved to Washington, right? With, as I understand it, not a whole lot. You didn't have a lot of money.
No, nothing.
And you have no family here.
Nothing.
How do you build yourself? And then within 3 years, you start a nonprofit.
I left him with $400 in my pocket. Literally, that's all the cash I had. I had some jewelry and clothes, but who cares about these things when you need cash, really, right? I worked all kinds of odd jobs, and then I meet my second husband in D.C., fell in love, and then that's when the war in Bosnia started. And two things happened that time. I go back to school, to college, and I learn about the Holocaust for the first time in my life, because back home they didn't teach us about the Holocaust.
Wow.
There was no discussion of it.
Right.
So I'm learning about, like, wow, this has happened, and they said never again. And in the same month, there was image on Newsweek and Time magazine of concentration camps and rape camps of Bosnians. And I was like, no, they said this never again, we're never gonna happen again, and this is happening again, so I must do something about it.
I think a lot of people feel that way, but they don't act on it. They don't start a nonprofit organization to help the women that they just saw
on the cover of the magazine.
Partially, maybe in hindsight, I think I was also acting upon on my own life. I grew up 20 years of my life with no freedom.
So for me, it's like you have the freedom to choose, to express, to act. So how could I not take advantage of this freedom and do something about it to help others who don't have it?
It actually has been a journey of humbling experiences working at Women for Women International.
So I was 23 years old. I sat Women for Women International. Everyone laughs at me because, like, what are you doing? Get yourself a good job, let yourself get paid, build a house, you know, buy a car. And we, like, sacrificed everything we had. Like, I mean, there were the days for 3 years. We were, like, we would count how much grocery we can buy because I was volunteering full-time to build this organization. And it started with helping 33 women. And once you help one woman, you're like, you can't leave her.
So the 33 women.
And you're helping
women
who are in war-torn places.
I go to Bosnia.
Yeah.
And this is like.
And you're helping women who've been who've been survivors of horrific things.
Yes. Raped, yeah. Pillaged, burned. It's just like, I remember one time in Kosovo, I gave a woman the first arrival, I'm just giving her some aid package, and she returned it. She said, I'm too gone. I mean, I'm like, give it to someone who you can help. I'm too gone. And you, like, this is how you, when you see them, this is the stage where they are in.
So partially,
you're still touched by that.
Of course.
You remember, I'm sure you remember.
You know, I always say the day I stop crying is the day I should worry about myself. Because then my heart becomes cold and you get used to it. So I should never get used to that, you know. And I'm actually grateful for the tears. It means my heart is still alive, you know.
Zeynep Soulby gives a voice to all Arabic women in a groundbreaking new show, Nida.
I had an epiphany that I want to switch, actually. Stay the same focus on women's rights, but switch from the humanitarian world to the storytelling world. So I wanted to do a show for the Arab world in Arabic to go back home.
Right.
Basically.
And you did that.
Oh.
And people called you the Oprah of the Middle East.
It was a tough ride. It was a very
tough
ride.
Why was it a tough ride?
There's a lot of concept in the Middle East that I grew up with. Shame. Forbidden, don't do this, don't do that. And I had changed being an American.
Right.
You know, you sort of unshed these prohibitions that you grow with. And I went back and they were still there. It was interesting ride and it was a scary ride. It was very emotional, right, personally, for me to confront my own society back.
Best advice you ever got?
Lead as you define leadership. Don't replicate other people's leadership.
Worst advice you ever got?
It's a good one. It's okay. Why are you so sensitive of how he's treating you? You must be insecure.
Weirdest thing about you?
Weirdest.
Weirdest. Or one weird thing.
I like dancing, but it's not like I'm not a hip dancer. Like one of these like crazy dances, like the only way, because I was afraid of dancing until I was 30 years old. And the only way I could, open my inhibition is to more go the crazy way.
Piece of advice you wish you had when you were younger.
Take care of yourself also. I didn't. I put if this was
everything out.
If my life was a poker game, I sat on the table. I bet myself as well.
Zeynep, thank you so much. This was so delightful.
Thank you.
Wonderful to be with you.